Hello, this is the Fat Gypsy, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fat Gypsy Podcast. Now, it's looking like I might only have like 5-10 minutes with this shit. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully when it gets to a couple minutes, it won't fuck me off, because it's looking like I only have a few minutes with this shit, which makes no fucking sense. If I only have a few minute podcast, you guys are fucked. I need like hours and hours and hours upon hours to fuck with you guys, right? So, let me just say that it's been a long time coming that we were supposed to do this podcasting thing. I've been asked for years to start something like this, and here we are. We're gonna start it right now. We're fucking doing it. We're doing it, babies. We're fucking doing it. So, there are a few things I want to talk about for episode one. There are a few things I'd like to discuss with y'all, with you guys, as listeners. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to get into it because I might have to figure out still how to fucking do this. Honestly, it's showing that I'm halfway done my recording right now. So I'm just going to blab for another minute and 20 seconds because it looks like I'm going to get cut off. Slide your finger from the button to kick into... Okay, so we're locked into record mode now. And, it's not stopping us. I don't think. Is it going? I'm so sorry. This is episode one. I know you know that. So, obviously, the technical difficulty shits are going to get worked out today. Is that bar moving? I can't tell. I think it is fucking moving still. Yeah, it's moving. It's definitely moving. We might only have 20 seconds left on this podcast, babies. Right? How fucked up is that? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I think we're done. Oh. And it keeps going. Okay, we're good. Sorry, I don't know how this shit works yet, babies. So listen, today I'm gonna give you a bio. I'm gonna talk about my life a bit, where I'm from, why I do what I do, what I'm doing on this planet, all that shit. Let me first start with shout outs because it's important that the people who deserve the shout-outs as to why I'm here able to do this podcast get the respect that they deserve. So, my first shout-out is to Mr. Mark. I'm not going to use last names. He saved my life since I was 3. I love him very much. He's the only fucking reason why I'm able to do this right now for you, for y'all. For everyone. For me, actually. I'm doing this for me more than you. I don't mean to sound selfish or anything, but like, this brings me joy. It brings me pleasure. I have a great time putting my shit out there. I really, really do. Okay, so shout outs. Dear Mark, let's do. Next, we're gonna do the Dice. The Dice also saved my life many times. He's a fucking beautiful model. Richard Dice, him, his name I'll use because I'm trying to pimp him out as much as possible right now because we are in a shitload of trouble because he's a fucking idiot. So, shout out to the Dice. I love you very much. He'll be featuring on the show once in a while. He'll come on with some models. I'm going to get you some models to talk to, obviously. It's what I do. I'm a model manager. So, if I can't hook up some interviews with some models, then... I'm fucking pathetic. So, we're gonna do that. Male models probably more because they're just more interesting, I find. Male models are just a little bit more interesting. A lot of them are dumb, but for the most part, they're a little bit more interesting than the females, which is why I'm a male model manager, not a female one. Even though I'd like to break into female just because they make way more money. They make way more fucking money. Like, you have no idea. Like, people bitch and complain about how females don't make the same amount of money as males in the workplace, which is, it's bullshit if you look at the numbers. If you look at the stats on the numbers, it's not true. Women take more vacation. They want to go home earlier. They live life more than men. They want to live life as opposed to live work more than men. So anyways, look into it. I'm not here to talk about that today. Also, Melly baby, Melly Welly. I love you very much, Melly Welly. You're also a big, big reason why I'm here right now. Big fucking reason why I'm here. Love you very much. This wouldn't be possible without you, my love. And I hope you're doing good right now with the God. Anyways, you know what that means. No one else knows what that fucking means, but you know what that means, baby. Okay, so shout-outs are done. All right, I just wanted to shout out three fucking important people. Everybody else, I love you, but no, you're not getting a shout-out. Not today, anyway. Not on episode one. Not on fucking episode one. All right, so shout-outs are done. I'm going to be as honest as possible on this podcast. Like, sometimes I'm going to be reporting shit from the media, making fun of the news and shit like that. So, obviously, if the media talks shit, I'm going to be talking shit too. So, when I say I'm going to try and be as honest as possible, that's really what I mean. Is that, like, I'm going to report on stuff, but if those people don't get their facts right, that's not my fucking problem, right? That's not my fucking problem. But from me, from my heart, you'll always get honesty. And if anybody out there ever hears something that they know is a lie, contact me, whatever, and I'll stop doing this podcast right the fuck away. I'm gonna try and keep this as honest as possible, babies. As honest as fucking possible. One more shout out. Alright, it's very important I do this shout out, because really a big, also main reason why I'm here right now is because of Joe Rogan. So shout out to Rogan and the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. It got me through some of the most impossible dark times of my entire life. I was stuck in a wheelchair, but that's a whole other story that I will tackle today. I will fucking tackle that today. Trust in that, babies. Trust in that. All right. So, where do we start? Well, let's explain the name. The Fat Gypsy. My whole life, I've been slim. Pretty slim. To most people, it wouldn't make sense that my name is the Fat Gypsy, because I'm not fat at all. I'm actually quite the opposite of fat, in very fucking good shape, in the best shape of my life, actually. I could run, I do like 8.5K under an hour, so that's fucking amazing for me. Absolutely amazing. I'm not bragging, I'm just explaining the name. So, last year, though, I weighed something like 225 pounds because I was in a wheelchair for 3.5 fucking years. 3.5 fucking years in a wheelchair, you gain some fucking weight. Plus all the antipsychotics, blah, 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 right? So, and painkiller, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I'll get into that. But last year I was 230 pounds maybe at my heaviest. And within 1 year, I lost all that weight, but I was fat, so I get to use the FAT name, because at one point in my life, I was a fucking fat ass, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with fat people, except for the fact that they're unhealthy. It doesn't matter what you look like. It really doesn't fucking matter. You shouldn't give a fuck what anybody thinks or what you look like or any of that shit. All that matters is that your body's a fucking, it's a tool. Your body's like a car. If you put shitty fuel in your car's gonna be shitty. If you put good food in your car, then, well, good food in your car. If you put good gas in your fucking car, you know what I mean. Gas is food for a car. So yeah, it even makes sense that way. So fuck you, okay? If you put good food in your fucking car, it will drive better. It will drive longer. You'll have less problems with it. I'm no mechanic. I just learned from a young age. You put the good gas in a good car. The bad gas is for shit boxes. And yeah, we'll keep it at that. So I was fat. I'm the fat gypsy. My mom is Romani. Like, I'm pretty sure her family, like, she's from Canada, so she's not real Romani Gypsy, but her heritage is Romani Gypsy, so, by law, technically, fuck y'all, I'm the real deal, alright? Her family immigrated here from Romania, where the real deal fucking gyps come from, so, I'm not a robbing, stealing gypsy anymore. I don't do that shit anymore. I will talk about my past history and the game. The game was very kind to me for the most part. It was very, very kind to me. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, so that explains why I'm called the Fat Gypsy. And plus, I live my life like a fucking gypsy. I travel around the world. I've been around the world, I don't even know how many times. Been to so many countries that I don't remember all of them. I'd have to sit and really think, because most of the countries I've been to, I was really, really, really fucked up. Like, really fucked up on different kinds of substances. So a lot of the times I'd be in a country and I saw surrounding countries and had no idea. Just no fucking idea. So, and I never had cameras. Like, I just wanted to explore. I didn't give a fuck about taking pictures. I didn't give a fuck about taking videos. I never even really had a camera with me ever. I just go and live with locals and struggle with locals. And I just go around the world and do my thing. And that's why I'm the gypsy. Because from one day to the next, I could be in a different continent with the clothes I have on my back, and that's cool. So, anyways, let's get to bio, yeah? So, I was born to one fucking idiot and one kind of psycho. Mom, I love you, but let's be real, let's be honest. I know you're gonna listen to this. Let's be real, let's be honest. You're a psycho, and it's not your fault. Okay, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the environment that you grew up in. I don't want to talk too much about that because it has nothing to do with me. But mommy's daddy was a diddler. Let's just leave it at that. And it fucked her up. So she was not given the proper tools to be a good parent ever. Like, her mom was, bless her, she was always good to me, but she was fucked up to my mom, like crazy fucked up, right? So it's not her fault that she fucked up big. Now, on the other side, my biological sperm donor, he's a fucking idiot. He's a big time fucking idiot. He's a little bitch, and I hope one day he listens to this, because any fucking real man, any real man that gives up his son because his fucking new wife says it's him or me. Well, first of all, if you pick your wife over your son, she must suck and fuck really, really well. Like, even the best blowjob fuck I ever had, I don't know who it's from off the top of my head. I don't know. I can't say right now, but there is one. And even for that one, no matter how hot she was or how good she fucks and sucks, I would give my kid up for a girl. No offense, ladies. No offense, but there would be nothing ever that would come between me and my child. Maybe I learned that lesson because he's a fucking idiot. Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. She's been my stepmom for 20 years, but she's not my stepmom. Don't get me wrong. She's my sperm donor's wife. Let's get things fucking straight here, all right? She doesn't get to use the term mother ever. Ever. Maybe with her own fucks, but not with me. Anyway, so, stepmom. Not calling her that anymore. My bad. Sperm donor's wife. Her name's Anna Maria, by the way, so fuck you. Her, I'll give her a name. Anna Maria. I don't know if I could get sued for actually giving a full name, so let's just keep it at Anna Maria. She's Irish, Italian, psycho. Also, daddy problems. My daddy loved fucking lady blonde fucking idiots with daddy problems. Sperm donor father, your name is Richard, and you love fucking girls with major fucking daddy issues. I wonder what that's about. I wonder what insecurities. Oh, because you get to be the daddy. Oh, I get it. Oh, it all makes sense. You choose girls with daddy issues so that you get to be the baller daddy and like buy them houses and beautiful area codes and brand new Mercedes. Oh, you're such a daddy. Too bad you're not a daddy to your own fucking kid, you cunt. Anyways, so where was I? Anna Maria used to be my mother's best friend until she married father. And then that caused a lot of shit. So I've known Anna Maria since I was fucking born. Like, no joke. Not only did she marry my dad, but she was my mom's best friend when I was born. So she was around, you know. So that gets really weird. So anyways, I lost myself. So I come from some fucking crazy shit, as you can see. Daddy's home life was pretty normal. Mommy's home life was absolutely fucked. And before I get into it, I'm gonna ask her permission. I'm gonna do the right thing. Cause it's very interesting to talk about, and I will probably get her to come on and talk about it herself. Maybe, we'll see. It's just an idea for now. It's an idea. So, anyways, the only normalcy I ever had in my life was stepfather Mark. He was the only normalcy that was given to me by the universe. Everything else in my life was absolutely fucking craziness from day one. Literally from day one. I was born in Canada. Spent a lot of time there. Montreal. Was born and raised in the suburbs. We moved to the city when I was about 10. That's when shit started, you know, like, I never had a brother or sister. My mom and my stepdad Mark, I'm gonna call him Mark from now on. Mark, stepdad Mark. I'm not saying stepdad anymore. So Mark always made sure I had a dog, so that's probably why I'm in love with animals now. I'm more of an animal person than a people person. If I could be doing a podcast for animals right now, you guys would be shit out of luck. For real. But I can't do that for obvious fucking reasons. So, I'm gonna talk to you cunts. You babies, my loves. Anybody who's listened this far is definitely my love, all right? So, let me just say thank you again for you listening out there. Very much appreciated, and I'm gonna try and give you the best content all the time. And if my first few are shitty, I'm just getting the hang of it, right? I've had a few radio shows, so I'm not super beginner, and I won't give you too much dead air, but give me a fucking break, yeah? This is podcast one, episode one. So, I was always interested in dark shit, always. From a young age, I know my mom told me something like, when I was a kid, I'd always go up to the, like kid, like three, four, two, three, four. I would always go up to the kids who were smoking and the bad kids and want to talk to them and be interested in them. So it started from a very young age. I was more interested in bad, dark, that side. The light side wasn't interesting to me. It was the dark side really, really started interesting me. It started being interesting to me from the start. So my grandmother, she had a very, very important role in my life. This is my mother's mother. She helped me a lot. She smoked me on my first spliff. She helped me a lot. She gave me her guns when I needed them. Not even kidding. We're talking about a 22 and a 30. Was it a? I think a 22 and a 45, but I never fucked with the 45. It was way too big. Couldn't conceal it properly, and I needed to take this fucking thing to school. So I couldn't take a 45 to seventh grade, could I? No, absolutely not. But I could take a 22 very easily and conceal that shit very fucking easily. So that's what I did when I needed to take my grandmother's gun to school. I did. And there are reasons why I needed to take the gun to school. It wasn't to show off. But I'll get into that soon. So anyways, I moved to the city when I was 11, probably, to a place called NDG. Notre Dame de Grâce à Montréal, Notre Dame of Grace for you English cunts. That's an area in Montreal that goes from ghetto to nice. It borders one of the most prestigious area codes, not area codes, postal codes in Canada, a place called Westmount. So I grew up on the border of ghetto and rich, loaded. And I started selling weed at like 12. Started selling weed at 12 with a friend named Jordan. He hooked me up with everything. Thank you for that, Jordan. Jordan's still not talking to me, and I'm not talking to him because when I was 18, I fucked his girlfriend, and his girlfriend was my girlfriend's best friend at the time. Long story short, Jordan, I apologize for that. I still feel bad for fucking your girl. Even though let's not go there. Yeah, let's fucking go there. I fucked her again a few months ago. Okay. Fuck you, man. That night that you don't talk to me for, by the way, was definitely in my top three to five sexual experiences of my life. That LSD massage fuck. Ooh, boy. Your girl's got skills. And anyway, so I moved to the city. He started hooking me up with weed to sell. And I just got into a shitload of trouble all the time. I was selling weed. I was taxing people at the Metro. Getting taxed at the Metro. You know, like, we started early. We started this gangster shit early. We thought we were gangsters at first. We were jokers. And then it got serious later on, and we'll get into that. So he started hooking me up with weed, so I started having money. I started doing pretty well because everybody smokes, especially at 13 in Montreal. Everybody fucking smokes. So I was doing well, and then the first big major fuck up for me that happened in my life, one night my friend called me and she was having problems with her father and she wanted to get the fuck out of her house, so she called me. She was a good friend at the time, and I had money, so I was like, yeah, take a cab to my grandma's house, you could crash here, we'll drink, we'll whatever, you know. We were 13 14, very young. I might have been 14, she was maybe 13. So, anyways, she ended up getting wasted. I took my grandmother's car out while she was drinking the bottle of wine. So, picture a 13-year-old girl, 14-year-old boy in a white Benz driving around Montreal while the girl's getting wasted. I wish I had a fucking video of that right now. That would be classic hilarious. So anyway, she gets way too fucked up. I help her up the stairs, bring her to the bathroom. She's not answering. She's not saying anything. After 20 minutes, I knock on the door. She tells me, come in. Shit led to shit that night. Anyways, I end up getting arrested for, like, rape. Or the police come talk to me for rape. Anyways, this whole big thing happens, and instead of doing a little bit of time in my city, my sperm donor, biological father, let's make that fucking clear. He sent me to like a military style emotional growth school in the States. I started in Idaho, got transferred to Atlanta, and then got transferred to Buttfuck, Massachusetts. It was Covington, Massachusetts, I believe. Which is weird, because my ex-wife's name is Covington. Close enough, right? So I got sent there. Sorry. But I must light that up. So when I got sent there, I was a child. I remember being there, and I get there, and my bio dad took me to this place, and he said, yeah, it's not gonna be that bad, just chill. It's more emotional work than anything else, because they seriously thought I was a rapist. I remember my own mother slapping me across the face, calling me a rapist. And I remember asking my father if I could live at his house. And I was 14, right? And at the time, he kind of was my father, let's just say. He was doing a better fucking job anyway. So he told me no, that he has a stepdaughter now, and he has to protect her from a possible rapist. Anybody that knows me knows that I would never fuck her, like, anybody, let alone rape. Okay, like, rape is worse than murder in my eyes. You're better off killing someone than fucking stealing their soul, right? So I went to this place, and the minute I get there, this is my introduction to this place that's, like, just emotional growth. You'll be fine, it's emotional growth. I get there. There are these two big-ass motherfuckers. Big-ass motherfuckers, okay? First thing they say to me, take me into a little cabin, take your clothes off. Strip. Now. Under any other circumstance, I probably wouldn't have freaked out, but I've been molested when I was a kid at summer camp, so when two men fucking ask me to take my clothes off, I start to freak out. But I did it. I said, whatever, if I'm gonna get raped by these two big-ass motherfuckers, fighting, well, they're way bigger than me. I'm 14, 15 at that time, maybe. So anyways, they explained to me how it went. They said, like, you see, there are no fences in this place. That's because if you try and run, you'll die getting to the first fucking town. It was like 100 miles or something through very, very much hunted areas of Idaho. And you can shoot at whatever you want out in those woods. Anything that moves, you have green light to shoot. So they don't need fences in places like that because nobody's stupid enough to run away. So we were worked 12 hours a day and we slept 12 hours a day. We did maybe an hour a week of emotional growth shit. Besides that, we were digging holes to fill them up. We were carrying trees to point A to point B to bring them back to point A. We weren't allowed to walk anywhere. Everything was running. It made me get in the best shape. I became a beast. I was in the best shape of my life. So that was 42 days of, like, hardcore to get your mind right, to get you into the zone that you're not a boss, you're not a badass, you're not nothing. Take your ego away. That's the first step. First step to that shit. Break down your ego. You're nothing. Spit in your face. Call you names. Fucking drill sergeant. This is Gomer Pyle shit. Okay? It was Gomer Pyle shit every fucking day, 12 hours a day. So then you get transferred to Atlanta. Atlanta was fucked up. The kids there were madness. Madness. The most badass of everywhere I went was Atlanta. Atlanta was a place where you have to fight for your food. It's mostly Latinos, whites, blacks, and not many blacks, but a lot of Latinos and a lot of whites, let's say. Where was it in Georgia? It wasn't Atlanta specifically. It was Dahlonega. It was Dahlonega, Georgia. But fuck Dahlonega, fucking Georgia. So anyways, that was fucked up. Got into a lot of trouble. I was always in trouble there. Finally, a friend of mine, Chris, fucking not gonna say his last name. I don't know how I remember this. I was fucking 15 or 16 years old, but I guess because it was such an important big event in my life, I'll never forget his name. But he came and he had a bag of drugs. A bag of fucking drugs, like all kinds of drugs, like mixed up, not pills, like all crushed up into a powder. Everything was crushed up. We're talking from pharmaceuticals to illicit. And it was all uppers. Maybe some downers mixed in there, but it was mostly uppers. And we had a connection with one of the, because we were trained and security at night was all the Rangers, like the Georgia Rangers. So every time we did PT Ranger style, right? Like we wasn't like shitty whatever. We were trained by Marines and Rangers, period. So for 2 years I was trained by Marines and Rangers in those places. But that night, that specific night, we got a warning from one of the security guards that they were gonna do a shakedown the next day. And my friend Chris looked at me, he's like, yo, we gotta throw all these fucking drugs out. Like, we just got this bag. This is supposed to last us like a month. A fucking month, right? So, nah, we're not gonna waste it. We're gonna do it, man. So, we started getting fucked up. And I was just going crazy because drugs were always way more important to me than anything else. I always saw it as like a psychological challenge and the most dubious of psychological challenges, let's say. So, I did all the drugs, and I woke up in the hospital, and they were like, sir, you just had a heart attack. What substances did you take? And I told them, I was like, I didn't take any fucking substances. They drug tested me. I pissed clean. Pissed clean. I should have pissed lava. I should have pissed hot as fuck, but I pissed clean. So they couldn't really do anything. But I'm not sure if I actually pissed clean. I think the place made me piss clean because they knew there was probably a lawsuit coming because it was America, heart attack, where they're supposed to keep me safe, underage, blah, blah, blah. So I don't believe that I didn't piss hot. It makes no sense. Did so much, so many drugs that night. So anyways, had an angiogram, had all these things done, got put on Norvasc and all these heart medications because I literally had a heart attack at 16 years old. I was seen by like 16 doctors at St. Joseph's in Atlanta because they didn't understand what the fuck was going on. A young kid with a heart attack made no sense. I went through this one test where they had to blast like this shit in my veins that was fluorescent yellow, and I was like pissing fluorescent yellow for a minute, and that was fucked up. So I got to go home after that, and then I got sent to a place in Covington, Mass, where I did 10 or 11 months before getting kicked out. I was like one of five people in that place to get kicked out. Respect. And I was fucking up a little bit. I was fucking up and fucking up, getting into trouble. I'm a joker. It's what I do. I get into trouble. So I was getting into trouble, and finally, I liked this one girl, Laura, and we went somewhere on some kind of excursion together, like as a group, and I figured out a way to bring her somewhere and finger the shit out of her. I didn't fuck her, because it was hard to do, probably. I don't fucking remember totally, but I fingered her, right? And I fingered her good. I fingered her nice. And like... This is how I got busted, okay? This is how I got busted. Because there's no sex, no drugs, no violence rules. And I broke... I never broke the violence rule, actually. It's just sex and drugs. I broke that one lots. So, we're in the van driving back. And there's this little fucking idiot. He's dead now. And I'm not saying RIP or none of that shit. He's a fucking idiot. I don't respect all the dead people, only the ones that deserve respect. So, JP, wherever you are, up or down, don't give a fuck. Don't give a fuck, mate. Anyway, so, JP, this little fucking idiot, starts yelling out, "What's that smell?" And yeah, okay, Laura, at that age, at that place, you're a pussy, man, it had a smell. I'm not saying it was bad, but it was pungent. So I'm sitting in the van, in the back of the van. My hands reeks of pussy. And this fucking idiot won't shut up about, "What's that smell? What's that smell? What's that smell?" So then, obviously, he got the attention he wanted. And someone was like, "Why does your hand smell like pussy?" And I was like, "Because I was fingering myself." And they didn't believe me. And then this fucking idiot girl comes out and spills her guts about everything that happened, like a fucking, like the rat that she is. Probably not a rat anymore. She's probably a down-ass bitch now, but she was a rat back then. Fuck you for being a rat. She ratted the fuck out of me. I kept saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I finger myself all the time. This is what I smell like. Don't discriminate. Don't fucking discriminate on my smells. I'm allowed to smell like a female. That's who I am. Fuck you." And whatever, I got busted. I got kicked out for that, and they found out all my shit. I told her, like, I was 16, so obviously I told her everything I was up to. I was setting up sex organizations for people. I was running the underground of this place at 16 with my shitty three. We were three guys. We were Aaron, Josh, and Mikey. And we were considered the shady three, and I was responsible. If people wanted to fuck in that place, because there was the male and the female side, they would come to me and be like, "Yo, where can we fuck, like, and be safe?" I'd be like, "Yo, at 7:30, go to this spot. We'll make sure everything's cool." And we didn't charge. It was just out of goodness, you know? Just, I think we charged desserts or something. We charged something. There was no currency, so we didn't charge money, but we charged other shit. And finally, I got kicked out of there and got brought back home. And that's when I met the soulmate. And even though we're not supposed to be together, she is the soulmate. And I think about her every day. And I love her to death until the day she dies. Can't spend too much time with her because oil and vinegar, oil and fucking vinegar, or oil and water, whatever. We don't get along, but I take a bullet for her and I kill anybody that fucking hurts her. You guarantee that. And I don't mean like breaks her heart. I mean anybody that ever really hurt her will have to deal with me and like the 100% of me and the dark me. So take that as a warning. Don't fuck with that girl. Anyway, so I met her. She became everything to me. I was obsessed with her for the longest time, but I hated myself, so I caused problems between us and whatever. We stayed together for 8 years. In that 8 years, I traveled a lot. Saw the world. Didn't travel as much as I should have, but traveled as much as I could at that point, at that age. And in that time, see, when I got back from that juvie shit, I was wanting to do shitload of drugs, obviously, but I met her. And she came from, she's from a good family, she's a good girl. She gave me an ultimatum. She's like, listen, I know you like drugs, but I don't want to be with a drug addict, so choose between me and drugs. And I loved her to death, way more than drugs. So I said, yes, baby, it's you. I don't give a fuck about drugs. I'm definitely gonna smoke weed, but you do that too, so we're good. And yeah, we got along and everything was good. And when I was 18, I had a best friend who I was always playing music with. He was a drummer. He was a beautiful, beautiful guy. Never harmed anybody, never hurt anybody in his life. And he came to me one day and he was like, all right, Mikey, let's... First of all, he had been trying to teach me how to... Let me just state, he had been trying to teach me how to play drums my entire life. My entire life, not my entire life, that's an exaggeration. He had been trying to teach me how to play drums seriously maybe for the past year. Year, he was serious, like I was trying serious. Before that, not so serious. That year, serious. I couldn't do it. Couldn't play drums. I was shitty. Couldn't isolate my limbs, whatever. Couldn't do it. So, anyways, back to the story. He comes to me one day. He's like, listen, Mikey, it's time for us to do an album. I was like, yes, easy. You're right. It is time for us to do a fucking album. But we have no money. And computers weren't what they were back then. So we couldn't just Fruity Loop something up and whatever. We couldn't set up Pro Tools. We couldn't do that shit back then. This is when I was 18. So that's 15 years ago. So he comes to me and he says, Mikey, album? I say yes. He says, okay, I have an idea. Now, we were jamming at this spot that nobody knew we were jamming at. he had been jamming there with another group, and he had the key still, and they forgot that he had the key. So we had access to the studio to go jam at with tons of equipment. No one even knew we were there. So he tells me we're gonna rob the shit out of that fucking place. We're gonna just rob the shit out of it. And I said, yes, we are. And he said, we're gonna keep all of this shit at your house, at your apartment. And I said, yes, easy, we will. And he said, Alex is gonna drive his van and be the driver. And I said, yes, easy, he will. And that's exactly what happened. So we picked New Year's Eve to do this because New Year's Eve, we knew nobody was going to be jamming on New Year's Eve. Either they're playing shows or they're partying. They won't be there. So we went. Within half an hour, we stripped every single fucking thing that we could from that studio. And I mean, like, everything. I mean, like, if there was a cabinet with sliding doors on the wall, we took the glass sliding doors. Like, we empty cleared it. There were tons of candles that we took. We took so much shit. So we got back to my spot and it's full. I mean, fucking full. Nowhere to walk. Nowhere to walk. It was like a 3.5, maybe a 4.5 apartment. And it was nice. It was right on the water, fucking beautiful view. Fucking nice apartment, but it's still an apartment, not a building, like duplex. So we go and we're like, we start shipping, we celebrate the success of the robbery. We celebrate the success of the robbery with a spliff and some other substance, but I'm not sure which one. It was a long time ago. But we were fucked up. We lit a bunch of candles. I had 3 kittens and 2 cats at the time. And, yeah. So, anyways, we're watching The Pianist in my room. Or I'm trying to put in The Pianist in my room, the movie. And it won't go on. It won't go on. We're sitting in my room on the bed. Like, all of a sudden, I hear, like, a scream. Like, a bloody murder cat scream. Like, what the fuck is that? the fuck is that cat scream? Yo, easy. Go check out that cat screen. I'll try and figure out this fucking stupid DVD player. So the boy fucking goes, puts his hand on the fucking handle of the door, opens the door, and within a split fucking second, not even a split second, within a millisecond, like, the most powerful heat, the most outrageous fucking heat started burning my fucking skin, and a black, thick black smoke cloud came into my room to the point where I held my breath with no air, closed my eyes, dropped to the ground, found a window, kicked a hole through the window, jumped out the window in my boxers, New Year's Eve, Canada, December 31st. Fuck you, that was cold. Least of my fucking problems, though. I see that he's not jumping out of the fucking window. Like, what the fuck? I hear one scream. One loud scream, Mike, help. So I run to the front of the house. I can't open the door, it's way too hot. So I start banging on the neighbor's doors. Get the fuck out of your house, the fucking apartment's on fire. I end up saving their lives, but Easy died. Easy died that night. I was fucked up for a very long time after that. Mental institutions, antipsychotics. That night he died. He died in that fire. Alex got into a car accident the next day. Totaled the vent. And yeah, I lost my best friend, my music partner, and my house burned down, destroying everything I've ever had, including Easy. Rest in peace. I love you. I'll always love you. And I'm very, very sad that we're not doing music anymore. Anyway, sorry. This is supposed to be a funny podcast, but this is the bio, so fuck you. There's just gonna be some tears, man. I've been through some shit. All right. So when he died, I got fucked up, and I don't mean I got fucked up like I went out and drank. I mean psychologically, listening to him scream for help and then not being able to help him as much as I loved him was the hardest obstacle I've ever had to negotiate. It was fucked up, and still today I'm affected by it, and I will be for the rest of my life. So anyways, I remember his girlfriend. We didn't know each other because he was always with me, and we just never hung out girlfriends. I'm pretty sure mine met Easy maybe once or twice out of the amount I chilled. That's nothing. Anyways, I never met her, and she came up to me. I don't know when. I'm not sure when, but she came up to me, and she's like, listen, I know you have nowhere to live, so just come to my house. You could stay with me. We both loved him. So just stay with me. So I was like, yeah, cool. So I go to her house, and she's got a big comfy bed and a tiny couch, and that's fucking it. And I look at her, and I'm like, seriously? Like, half of my body doesn't fit on that couch. Like, it's tiny. It's a fucking love seat. Like, I'm not sleeping now. Are you fucking crazy? I'm like, listen, we're both adults here. All right, we can sleep in the same fucking bed. We don't have to fuck. It would be disrespectful to fuck anyway. We're not gonna fuck. Obviously, we ended up fucking, and I felt horrible about it. And I left after, well, this is why I left. This is why I couldn't take it anymore. So we were fucking for maybe 2 weeks when this happened. We were at her mom's, because we always went to her mom's to eat or whatever. And we were at her mom's, and while everybody's eating at the dinner table, she like looks at me and she's like, "It's fuck." And I was so disgusted with myself. Just with myself. It had nothing to do with her. Just, I was so disgusted with myself. For fucking my best friend's girl after he died. I was disgusted. I said I'm sorry. I took all my shit. I left. I think I've spoken to her once or twice after that. And that's it. I just couldn't. I felt disgusting. I was disgusting. But in that moment, it wasn't fucking either. It was lovemaking, first of all. Second of all, we were both very, 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 very much suffering. Very much suffering. And it was love. It was love. I was giving her compassion, affection, love. She was giving it back to me. So now that I'm older, I'm able to see that wasn't such a rotten thing to do. And if I die, if I were to die and my best friend fucked my girl, I would be okay with it. I'm just stating that for the record right now. I would be very much okay with it. So just know, either one of my best friends, if you ever want to fuck the person I'm with after I die, green light, babies, green light. So that fucked me up. Depression, drugs came after that. Broke up with the girl. Love, because couldn't handle myself, let alone being in a relationship. So I let everything go. I just fucked up, started getting heavy into drugs. Heavy. And like heavier than ever. And started, like, the minute I snapped out of the hardcore depression, it was like 4 months later. And I got this feeling, I was like, I want to play drums. I need drums. I need to buy drums. So I called up my boy, Mikey. Mike Moose, Mr. Montreal, living legend. Shout out, living legend. So I call him up. I'm like, yo, I need a drum kit. I know you just got a credit card in the mail, you cunt. He's like, no. I was like, Mike, I'll pay you back. He's like, okay, fine. So, yeah, I bought a drum kit on his credit card, and, yeah, I was able to play drums, like, well, isolating my fucking whatever, like, isolating my feet and my hands, everything was just coming along. I was able to play drums. I was able to play the whole Nirvana, which album? Live in New York. I played the whole Live in New York album the first day, and I was like, fuck, I could play drums now. So when people ask me if I believe in ghosts and spirits and all that shit, I have to say no. I have to say I don't know. I've never seen anything. It doesn't really make sense if you think about it logically. Ghosts, it doesn't make sense. Okay, but what also doesn't make sense is before the fire, I wasn't able to play drums. He dies after the fire. I'm a drum genius. Before my car accident, I was a drum genius. So, anyways, I started playing drums, started getting good, joined a few punk bands. Righteous. It was a lot of fun. I usually wanted to piss people off. It was always my thing. You know, any emotion, because at that time I was young, it was hard to make people happy and smile because I was unhappy. I was unhappy within myself. So it was very hard to fathom a world where I can make people smile. So the next best thing is to make people angry. And I'm good at doing that. I'm very good at provoking. So at my punk shows, I'd like to wear like my underwear and a Nazi flag and And I like cut open my stomach with knives and shit. Like just outrageous shit to piss people off. I remember one night I cut myself open on a drum kit that wasn't mine at this party, at this place where we were playing with a bunch of bands. And I bled all over the dude's fucking snare drum from cutting my stomach open before the show. He was so angry. And I'm like, yo, we're dirty punk rockers, man. Get over yourself, you fucking idiot. What a dumb cunt. Yo, if you're listening ever, I'm sure you remember me. Hard to forget. Fuck you, okay? It's a little bit of blood, and I was clean. Still am, hopefully. Note to self, must get tested. Okay. Where was I? So anyway, I started doing mad drugs and fucking up. At that point, I was done with this relationship. I was given an ultimatum when it was either kick, like, because a friend of mine was living at my house because her boyfriend was beating her up, and I told my girl at the time, I was like, listen, her boy's beating her up, she's gonna come stay with me. And my girl flipped out and said, like, either her or me. And I was like, listen, if you're gonna break up with me because I'm helping out a friend, go fuck yourself. So we broke up. And that's when things started going crazy. So we broke up, and I instantly regretted it. And I didn't have very much money. She went off to law school in Singapore, to the University of Singapore for law school. I needed to get to Singapore, so the first thing I thought of to make money was the best way to make money quick: rob cocaine dealer. Of course, they have tons of cash. I could grab the cash, grab the yayo, and get the fuck out. Right? Easiest way. If you ever need to make cash very quickly, take down a coke dealer. They're not gonna go to the cops. They have tons of cash. But make sure they don't know who the fuck you are. And don't learn from my mistakes. I robbed a dealer that my friend told me about, and she was a crackhead, so she gave me up to this dealer for like $100 or something. So this dealer, Mr. Jimbo, wanted my balls, obviously. Cause I fucked his shit up, fucked his house up, fucked him up. You can't go half-assed at this shit, right? When you're robbing a coke dealer, you fuck him up and take his shit and get the fuck out. You don't say, excuse me, may I have your money, please? So you can imagine, I fucked this world up. So he wanted me bad. He wanted me fucking bad. So we robbed this dude, right? And I like smashed his windows in with my skateboard, took all his shit. And I did it with this fucking monkey idiot, okay? Monkey man of an idiot. We were staking out the place, and finally I looked at him. I was like, listen, I'm going to do this on my own because you're a fucking idiot. You just stay watch out. So he did that because he made sure the dealer was going to eat something so that I'd have like a 15-minute window to search and destroy and whatever, find and get the fuck out. So the minute it was done, we went back to my place, but they obviously knew that he just set them up, because he asked for a meeting at a restaurant to speak with Jimbo. Jimbo went to the restaurant, waited, he never showed up, came back home, realized his place just got fucking robbed. So right away, where's this dude? Jimbo wants to know, where's this fucking dude? Dude's at my house. Now, someone knew that dude was at my house. At this point, he didn't know that I was involved in the robbery, right? So his fucking goons come to my apartment, bang on the door. They're looking for the monkey man, okay? And the monkey man's in my fucking house. And I fucking did this. The monkey man didn't even do this. So he's gonna give me up right the fuck away as soon as they get him. So I have to keep him safe to keep myself safe. So I look through the people, I see these four fucking goons at my door, and my heart starts fucking racing, because if they know what I just did, I'm a dead man. I'm just gonna disappear, and that'll be it. No one will ever hear from me again. So I hide him in my closet, in my room, and throw a bunch of clothes on him, fucking...
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.